It's Against All Odds presented by FanDuel. Hey, take a shot at betting the NBA with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub, filtered by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and bet live same game parlays for every NBA game. Download the app today. Bet with FanDuel, the official partner of the NBA. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. You must be 21 or older and present in select states. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
All right, welcome to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. It's finally here. March Madness is about to begin. Your bracket should be filled out. Your skin should be covered in inadvertent red Sharpie tattoos. And most importantly, if you haven't called in sick yet, now is the time. Coming up, we've got a former head coach who took two schools to the NCAA tournament. ESPN college basketball analyst Seth Greenberg joins us. He tells us why he likes UConn to repeat and which teams might fit Cinderella's glass slipper. After Seth, March baldness continues. We've got the D3, Harry, Brother Bry, and Darren, the Parlay Kid, giving their best bets for today's games and looking ahead to Sweet 16 value bets, regional picks, much more. And stick around for Wager Rager. I've got an announcement about where you can meet up with me, Master Tate Frazier, and Harry in Las Vegas today and tomorrow. We're going to watch games as I introduce you to my favorite bet in all of basketball. But first, let's recap the biggest sports stories of the week in the segment that already outscored Virginia's backcourt. It's Cover 4. All right, lots of college hoops to discuss, but let's quickly engage in some gridiron talk. The Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback room slash extreme home makeover edition continues to entertain us as after signing Russell Wilson last week, the black and gold unloaded Kenny Pickett across the state to Philadelphia before trading for Justin Fields. So after just two seasons, the Steelers are already tearing down the Pickett fences. The former first-round selection went 14-10 in his starts with a convenient 13 touchdown passes and 13 interceptions. There were all sorts of rumors as to why this relationship went bad, from Pickett refusing to be the backup in Week 17 last season to him not wanting to compete for the job with Russell Wilson. But now he's going to be a clear backup to Jalen Hurts in Philly, which is hilarious. All this drama so the Eagles can tush-push their starter to double-digit wins while you twiddle your tiny thumbs on the sidelines. The best part is he left Pittsburgh with a super sappy goodbye Instagram post. Grateful for all the amazing people I was fortunate enough to cross paths with and for all of those who supported me along the way, blah, blah, blah. It seems like a nice sentiment, but I'm sorry, Kenny. Most of these fans weren't into you. This is like A-Rod writing a thank you note to J-Lo and posting it on the internet. She's moved on, dude. It's over. And as nice as it was to put together a parting statement, Pickett, of course, had to end his post with Go Birds. Quack. Ironically, it all comes full circle as the Steelers and their fans gave Pickett their birds on the way out. All right, now on to hoops talk. The field is set, and I'd be remiss if I didn't congratulate myself. That's right, I went 68 out of 68 when it came to picking teams to make the NCAA tournament. You don't believe me? Here's my pad. And while I couldn't have been better at my job of predicting the field, I feel CBS fell short in their effort to entertain us during their Selection Sunday show. Last week, I had some silly ideas as to how to improve this show. Have Clark Kellogg reveal the field in the nude, a la John Cena. Have The Bachelor deliver carnations to the loser. CBS, of course, disregarded all my wonderful suggestions and instead, once again, left a ton of great TV drama on the table. I mean, the way they announce who got left out They don't even announce who got left out. They reveal the final region, and you're like, wait, did Seton Hall get in? Is Indiana State going home? What just happened? And it's all an easy fix. Just Seacrest it up a little. Put cameras on two teams ahead of time, and then heading into the last commercial break, say, okay, there's St. John's, and there's Boise State squad. One of these groups will leave disappointed. We'll find out when we return. And then watch as Rick Pitino throws a fit on national television. How do they blow this opportunity? This is not a network-wide problem. They don't shy away from the tense moments on Survivor. Jeff Probst snuffs out the torch, which leads to tears and bitterness and threats. It's the greatest. And don't tell me the NCAA doesn't want to exploit the players' feelings. The most brittle egos in the world were on display last week at the Oscars. There's a four box. As they're about to announce Best Supporting Actor, we get to see Ryan Gosling holding back the F word. I can't get enough of it. It's why we tune in. We shouldn't care about hurting Rick Pitino's feelings. He wore that suit for nothing. How very sad. But Selection Sunday is very selective about whose sadness is put on display. My advice to anyone who doesn't want to be embarrassed as they mourn their team, leave your piccolo at home.
Cover three.
All right, there's another NCAA basketball tournament I'd like to talk about. This is the one that lately has been turned down more than a bedspread at the Four Seasons. I'm, of course, referring to the NIT. The NIT is typically where teams that just miss out on making the NCAA tournament go to compete. Except this year, St. John's, Oklahoma, Pitt, and some others said NO to the NIT, and people are acting like they turned down Taylor Swift tickets for life.
Players and coaches a chance to keep coaching and playing, and don't shortchange. If a guy doesn't want to play, go sit out. If a coach doesn't want to coach, go recruit. But there's got to be enough people to put five, six, seven people on the floor and go play. Makes absolutely zero sense to me.
I love all the fake outrage about this. Fans and analysts are in an uproar that these players and coaches owe it to themselves to keep playing. These are the same hypocrites who can't even commit to going out for drinks with old college pals on a Saturday night. And now they're upset that a college basketball team they have no allegiance to won't forfeit their spring break for meaningless round ball? I am outraged by the outrage, I'll tell you that. This is the NIT. It's been dubbed the Not Important Tournament. It's a consolation event. Can you imagine if we demanded teams and players and other sports to keep playing after they've been eliminated? Jared Goff, you just lost the NFC Championship game. But don't worry, you'll play in a lesser tournament where the winning quarterback gets to go to Legoland. The truth is, if someone paid you $30 to attend the NIT as a spectator, you'd smack them in the mouth and tell them to keep the change. Admit it, you're not even going to watch it on TV. A little algebra for you. NIL is greater than NIT. And now, I choose to opt out of the rest of this discussion.
Cover four!
All right, we are just a few hours away from tipping off March Madness, one of the best sports betting events of the year. However, the real madness is the amount of emails I receive every year asking me to join NCAA tournament pools. Everyone's running a pool, and they want everyone they've ever come in contact with to know about it. People from old jobs, people I haven't spoken to in years, people I'm not even related to anymore, all have me on their sports gambling distribution list. Go figure. When it comes to unwanted emails, Selection Sunday has lapped Cyber Monday. The last verbal correspondence I have with Mike Chatfield was nodding to him at our 10-year high school reunion. Now I'm supposed to dig through the archives to remember my Yahoo password so I can rejoin his pool? Sorry, Chat. And sorry about the dog poop on your front porch thing. Total misunderstanding. Anyway, back to the brackets. Everyone approaches the way they fill them out differently. There's no correct psychology on bracketology. And this is why we need rules for March Madness. So consider me your lifeguard on duty for the NCAA pool. First things first, don't pick some team like McNeese State to win it all. You'll have enough of an advantage if you take them to make it to the Sweet 16 and they actually win their first two games. No need to flex and pick them to cut down the nets. Trust me, you'll be going from genius to moron. On the other hand, don't pick all number one seeds to make the Final Four. It's lazy, uninspiring, and not very fun. And it doesn't work. Last year, the aggregate Final Four added to 23. The year before, 13. The year before that, 15. There are going to be upsets despite what all the experts and those who have PTSD from working with Skip Bayless say. Next, get your head out of the 90s. Tom Izzo doesn't lose in March is a lazy narrative. I don't look the same way I do from 30 years ago, and neither do the Spartans. Here's a secret. Tom Izzo retired in 2006. What you see patrolling the sidelines, that's a hologram. You're just not paying attention. Truth is, they could replace Izzo with Lizzo, and you wouldn't even know it. Also, People will say they have their friends pool and their work pool. In that case, your work pool should be filled out at work, on company time. I'm siding with the work mafia here. And finally, and this is most important rule of all to filling out your brackets, do not, under any circumstances, listen to me. I have completed 37,000 brackets, and I only won once, and that's the year I did the opposite of my instincts. I Costanza'd my way to like $125. I spent more time studying college basketball than I did in actual college, but it doesn't matter if you devote 5 minutes or 5 days researching. You will lose, and the IT guy who couldn't tell a basketball from an Easter basket will emerge victorious. All right, that does it for Cover 4. Now it's time for my irrationally angry attempt to make rational sense of a somewhat irrational bet. It's Wager Wager. All right, there are lots of ways to legally wager on this tournament, thanks to FanDuel. They have everything. Later in the show, the D3 and I will be going over the individual games. You can bet on teams to make the Sweet 16, to win the region, the sum of the seeds of the Final Four teams. I think you can even bet on what game will Duke crybaby Kyle Filipowski take having ruptured his spleen. But I would like to introduce you to a hidden gambling gem. It's called Race to 10, and it is the greatest. Now, the rules are a little bit involved, so bear with me. Here's how it works. You bet a team to score 10 points before their opponent does, and if they do, you win. That's all. Brilliant in its simplicity. Now, a little later today, I'll be at Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club in Las Vegas with my pals Harry and Tate Frazier. Come on by. Yeah, the club looks exactly like that. We'll watch all the early games, and for all of them, we're going to be racing the 10. So if our team wins, I'm going to hand out $10 bills to everyone in the club. We'll stream a good chunk of it on Ringer's YouTube channel, and here's how that went last year. Take a look. It's a super fun time. We're going to do this today and Friday. And one of the great things about this event and this bet in general is you don't have to commit 3+ hours of your life. You get to scream like a lunatic for 6 minutes and then it's over. I'll hopefully give you $10 and then you could leave, go about your day, spend time with your family, or head out to the Little White Chapel down the block and create a family from scratch. That's the rager. Here's the wager. If you can't make it to Vegas in the next few hours, shame on you. But also, play along with us at home. Go get an early start on the Race to 10. The very first game is Michigan State, Mississippi State. And we are taking the Bulldogs to bulldozer their way to double digits before Sparty. Why? No reason. Who cares? All you have to do is play along for a sawbuck. Oh, and one thing. I do have to warn you about one unfortunate event that will likely take place after we win. Ah, yes, the shirtless Harry. Luckily, he's on the endangered species list. Now, excuse me while I play Race to the Vomitorium. Coming up, he might decline an invitation to the NIT, but he didn't decline an invitation to our show. ESPN College Hoops analyst Seth Greenberg will help us break down the brackets. And later on, the D3 is going to discuss today's games as we gear up for tournament tip-off. We're going to see how far Parlay Kid likes his Dayton Flyers to advance and how many school names Harry will mispronounce. That's next on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Let's bring in our guest. As a head coach, this fellow went to the NCAA tournament on 3 different occasions. He had 4 wins against number 1 ranked teams, 2-time ACC Coach of the Year, member of the Southern California Jewish Sports Hall of Fame. I'd love to get there one day. My mother would be so proud of me. ESPN College Hoops analyst Seth Greenberg is here. What's happening, Seth?
Oh, life is good. Great time of the year. Nothing better than championship week rolling into March Madness, rolling into the Masters. Pretty good time of the year.
It really is. And you seem ready. You seem refreshed considering you've already had like 705,000 interviews with idiots like me this week.
Well, I'll tell you what, this is a lot easier than coaching. You know, in the end of the day, win or lose, I go and I get a meal and I can actually taste the food. So life is good.
Well, listen, let's look back and then we're going to look forward. The selection committee, right? Give them a letter grade on the job they did this year. And feel free if you want to grade on a curve, since I think there were a high number of 5 bids stolen, but however you want to grade them.
Yeah, I thought they did a good job. I mean, it's impossible, obviously, down the stretch. And you did it. You had 5 bids stolen. So you have some really teams that could have won games in the NCAA tournament, didn't get in the tournament. You know, if you're Indiana State, if you're Pittsburgh, even Wake Forest, Oklahoma, St. John's, the Big East in general across the board. That's the one that kind of blew my mind a little bit, the lack of respect the Big East got. You got a 1, you got a 2, you got a 3, and that's it. So, you know, that was that. I mean, you know, the seeding with the Mountain West, you know, the Mountain West really, didn't, you know, their teams didn't beat a whole lot of really good teams outside of conference. They beat up on the Pac-12, but the Pac-12 wasn't good this year. So they had some wins against, like, you know, maybe a St. Mary's or a Gonzaga or someone like that. But overall, I thought they did a really good job.
Now, I've heard you advocate for expansion with this tournament because, as you said, there are going to be conferences with 20, 25 teams, and it's not fair that they're sending 3 or 4 schools to the dance. That makes sense. I just don't like the idea of 128, whatever.
It's not going to be 128. First of all, it's not going to be 128. Here's what they're going to do. In my opinion, here's got a little inside information. They're going to take the bottom 16 one-bid leagues. Because the one bid leagues are getting, so you understand why, and this is, some people need to understand why. Transfer portal. So what happens in the transfer portal? All right, mid-major pilfers from low major. Low major gets pilfered from high majors. Mid-range high majors get absolutely destroyed by, obviously, the elite programs in the country. All right, though the first 4, here's what we do. There's 8 games instead of what they have right now. At 6, but it's all low majors. It's all the bottom 16 conferences as they're rated. All right. They play off to get into the field of 68. End of conversation. Do it in 2 days. Don't have to add a weekend. No issues. No problems. There it is. So everyone still gets in. You still get that opportunity, but it's opening up spots. And that's what it's going to end up happening.
So I think what that would hurt most is, because I like it that you don't give Purdue of the world another chance to lose, because you want the best teams at the end, probably,
exactly.
Right? So, okay. Yep. So they don't, they essentially have a bye just like they would anyway. But what that hurts is Selection Sunday, because you have too many blanks in the bracket, right? As you're going forward, you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I mean, you have blanks. So what it does, so it's a day later before people start finishing their bracket, or you don't, you that's just the way it is. I mean, it impacts a little bit of the gambling is what it does.
I know. But, you know, that's
just
my
gives
life.
You a deadline, just gives you a deadline. You gotta have your bracket in by the start of the first game.
Okay. I like that. I like that. I
and
mean,
now you
I
got, collect- you got 8 games to bet on.
Right. That's true. Well, that's true. I can't complain about having more games to bet on. That's for sure. What do you think? There's been a lot of talk about the teams that were on the bubble, like Pitt, Oklahoma, and St. John's, who passed on the NIT. Do they have a point? Are you as angry and outraged as everybody else is with this?
No. First of all, angry and outraged. Tom Crean didn't play in the CBI 1 year. So, he had a chance to coach his team and practice and play whoever he wanted to play then when he was in Indiana. He didn't do it. Some of those guys didn't do it because Rick Pitino, they have a little momentum going on. All right. They have a cause in that they didn't go to the NCAA tournament. What happens if they lost the first round of the NIT? You lose all your momentum. Look, as a coach, you want to coach it. I understand what Tom was saying. As a coach, you want to, but I want to be in the gym. We all want to be in the gym, Tom. All right. We all want to, but you have access to your team 12 months a year.
What would Seth Greenberg, coach of, let's say, Pitt 2024, do? What would you do? Would you say we're definitely playing in this? Would you say I'm definitely not playing this? Or would it be like a democracy? Would you say, all right, who's in if we play in this?
I would go to my players.
Yeah.
I'm not going in with, I can find 6 guys. You know what? Yeah, I can find 6 guys too. I can find 3 walk-ons and the last 3 guys on my team, maybe, that aren't transferring.
Right.
So, you know, I would say, What good is it? Oh, I'm going to be in the gym. I'm going to coach my team. Yeah, great. You're going to coach your team. You have your teams in the portal. Have your teams out the door.
Right.
All right. It sounds good. It's a great soundbite. I love Tom to death, but You know, people say, oh, he shows he loves coach. No, everyone loves coaching. You're a coach and you love coaching. I mean, right? Because the guys our age got into coaching because we wanted to coach. We never thought we were going to get rich coaching. When I got into coaching, my first job, I made $12,000. I didn't think I was going to get rich coaching.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Not a great
when you say it, it sounds really sexy. I have to admit.
Oh, yeah. Really sexy.
Looking ahead, though, so we have our bracket. They're not changing it, right? It is as it is right now. Now, I watched your 8-minute YouTube clip where you go through every pick. By the way, isn't it nice that you could just touch a screen now and your pick appears? No ink stains on your tie or anything. Get some steps in, walking towards it.
There were some stains
because
I literally got to New York City at 11 o'clock for get up and first take and then turned around and drove right back for that. I was probably barely speaking English, but and probably had a couple snafus in my picks. I think I called Illinois State. I mean, I don't know why.
That's okay. Yeah, I enjoyed the whole thing. Now, you have UConn repeating. You have them beating Kentucky. Wow, boy, that'll be a fun one. That'll be one. That'll harken us back. That'll go back 30 years from now if we get that matchup. Why do you like those two teams specifically to make it far?
UConn's the most complete team in college basketball. They can play fast. They can play slow. They can play through the post. They can play and take over the game with Tristan Newton and Cam Spencer and those guys. They're hard to prepare for because of the way they play. It's not a ball screen continuity. It's ball movement, people movement. You know, like I always say, Danny Hurley is, their defense is out of Jersey City and their offense is out of FIBA. I mean, that's just the way they play. His ball and people movement's ridiculous. Guys embrace roles. They have a perfect 8-man rotation and they're whack-a-mole. If you look at their season, different guys have stepped up different. This guy don't play well, that guy plays well. This guy don't play well, that guy don't play well. Is going to play well. So I think this is just most complete team in college basketball coached by, and I'm down there a lot watching the practice, coached by, to me, either the best or one of the top four coaches in college basketball today. It's in terms of top to bottom, evaluating, recruiting, coaching, game preparation, everything they do, the manner in which they go through, prepare.
Give me a Cinderella. You know what? We're not even through the first week, and I'm already sick of hearing about Grand Canyon and McNeese State and James Madison. But any of those three on your radar, or is there someone else?
No, I mean, like, you know, Grand Canyon gets to the line. They're an older team. The Grant kid is a pretty good dynamic player. I'll tell you what, Vanderbilt's probably scratching their head why they let Bryce Drew go, but that's another story. McNeese played 24 of the 33 wins are from our quad three and quad four. So, I mean, like, how many high majors wouldn't beat, you know, quad three and quad four wins that many times? They are good, and Wells is good, and they play hard, and they rebound, and they're good. And, oh, my goodness, Gonzaga's in trouble. Gonzaga will handle the pressure. They'll take care of the basketball. I'm not totally sold on that potential upset. I think, the one sleeper could be Texas A&M, you know, as a nine. I mean, I think they're a nine, right?
Yep. Yeah, they did well in that conference tournament. Yep.
Well, more importantly, it's more point style of play. I mean, you know, if they're fortunate to beat Nebraska, then they get Houston. They played Houston already. It was a close game, even though Houston was leading. But what do you got to do to beat Houston? You got to keep off the glass. You got to be physical. You got to defend. You got to have guards. All right, similar to Iowa State. They don't defend like Iowa State. They don't push it down to the baseline. They don't pressure the ball as well. But let's face it, Wade Taylor and Bootsy Radford are the real deal. They rebound, number one offensive rebounding team in the country, so they out-rebound the rebounders. Now, they're not a great defensive rebounding team, and they can get loose offensively and things of that nature, but that's kind of one. If they do that, I think it's going to be a Kentucky rematch, potentially, with Texas A&M. So that's kind of one to kind of look for in terms of if you want to take a long shot.
I don't have to remind you, Coach, but the goal here is to get to the Final Four. I was wondering some of your Final Four thoughts that didn't pertain necessarily to this tournament. Will you play a game? It's this quick game of Final Four. Tell me your Final Four deli meats. Your choices are corned beef, roast beef, pastrami, or ham. Corned beef, roast beef, pastrami, ham. It's easy. What do you got?
Ham is last, all right? I can tell you that much. Depends on the pastrami. If it's nice and thin, I love good pastrami, roast beef, and smoked turkey.
Good pastrami, roast beef, and so what's number one? Who emerges?
I think in the right place, in the right deli, with the right mustard and the right sauerkraut, I'd have to go with, back in the day, the Carnegie with a nice thinly sliced, humongous pastrami with a Kinnish on the side.
Yes, that is the answer. You did it. Pastrami is cutting down the nets. You did it, Seth Greenberg. I'm going to give you two tickets to the Final Four. Congratulations. Good job by you.
I appreciate that, Sal. I appreciate that. Right. And I'll give you mine if I have to work that night.
Okay, great. You can follow Seth on Twitter, at Seth on Hoops, and see him on ESPN. Enjoy the tournament. Thanks again, Seth. We'll be right back with more Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by NetSuite by Oracle. The less your business spends, the more margin of money you have. I think that's pretty obvious for everyone, but actually doing it, that's easier said than done because the cost of everything is going up these days. So do the smart thing. Switch to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one platform and one source of truth so you can easily reduce costs and headaches. NetSuite specifically helps by reducing IT costs since it lives in the cloud with no hardware required, and cutting the costs of maintaining multiple systems since everything you need is on one suite. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. See for yourself how effective NetSuite can be and try it out today. And by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/ringer. That is netsuite.com/ringer.
Welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Let's not waste any time. My pals are here. We've been filling out brackets together forever. Their only goal in life has also been to survive in advance. My wizards of wagering, my gurus of gambling, they're my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the D3, Harry, Brother Brian, Darren, the Parley Kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
How we doing, Sal?
What's going on, buddy?
Harry, you are going to be joining me in just a few hours at the Kimmel Comedy Club. Are you ready? You don't look ready. I don't even know.
I'm ready. So I got brackets filled out. I got bets all over the place. Let's do it.
All right. It'll be fun. Over under 37.5 chicken fingers consumed today. What are you going with?
Wings or fingers?
No, it's fingers. Fingers. You like the wings better? All right. We're wasting too much time.
We'll see.
Get right to it. Let's each take two games, Thursday games, and give out some winners. I'm going to start with you, Parley Kid, because it is your birthday tomorrow. Give us a winner. What do you got? Colorado State, Texas. That's a 650 tip.
Yes, Sal. Look, I'm going to take the dog here on the money line at plus 125 in Colorado State. Colorado State's feeling pretty good about their dominating win over Virginia the other night, riding a momentum wave, that's for sure. Texas is 12-20 against the spread this year, Sal. Not very good. Colorado State, look, they're playing that tough Mountain West. They did dominate Creighton as well this year in a non-conference game. They share the ball well, fourth in assists in the country, and they have veterans like guards that shoot 46% from three, Sal. So I always like the guard play. They shoot the three ball well. Let's roll with Colorado State, riding that momentum from their win the other night in Dayton, Ohio.
All right. Hey, let me tell you, if Texas goes a literal hour without scoring like Virginia, I like Colorado State too. I really like that. Now, Bri, give your brother, the Parley Kid, the bad news about Dayton.
Yeah. Look, unfortunately, I'm going to go with Nevada to beat Dayton at minus 120. Look, I know Parley Kid's going to be rooting big time for Dayton, but even Parley Kid hasn't been that impressed. We've heard him before saying, you know, he thinks maybe Nevada's going to win this game. But look, when you look at the numbers, maybe you would say Dayton has the slight edge with the big guy there, and they have some good shooters. But I just feel like Dayton has not had a lot of great wins on the resume this year. You know, I didn't love what I saw when I watched them play. Now, when you look at Nevada, they have the better veteran guard play, and they've just been a better defensive team, and they play in a better conference. So I'm just not sure I trust Anthony Grant here in this spot. So give me Nevada to win at minus 120.
All right. Here's the problem with this. Maybe there isn't a problem with this. Maybe Dayton will lay an egg, but everybody likes shorting Dayton this week. You got to feel good about that, Parley Kid. This is one of six or seven bets that everybody has kind of jumped on. So in that regard.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think it takes the pressure off some of us UD fans. Mm-hmm. We Dayton fans expect them to win, but we also know better. We've been let down. And Dayton doesn't have the depth, Sal. They literally go five. If they're lucky, six deep. Holmes has been great this year. Second team All-American, Sal, by the way.
All right, I know. I think they're going to take the degree away, Parley Kid. They don't like the naysayers out there. All right. Harry, Mississippi State, Michigan State. This is the first one we're going to be racing to 10 with because it tips off at 12:15 Eastern. You're going under 130.5. I hope we're not waiting forever for a 10 to pop. pop up.
I'll be happy, Sal. I'll be happy with a timeout, a television timeout, and where they don't get to 10 just yet. But I'm going to go under 130 and a half. Four of the last six Spartans games have been under that 130 number. Michigan State's last four games also from three-point range, 11%, 22%, 32%. And then the other game, they only shot eight threes. Mississippi State just 2-5 in the last seven overall, but their defense has been fantastic. They spurred a victory over Tennessee in the SEC tournament, held the Vols to just 56 points and 22% shooting from three in that game. And Mississippi State in the SEC tournament held Tennessee, LSU, and Auburn to an average of just 63 points. That's pretty impressive. Michigan State is not that great offensively overall, probably in the tournament because of the non-conference schedule. I'm going to go under 130 and a half.
Okay. You know, maybe this will be one of my Brian. You know, I like that FanDuel you could do will not score 80 points. Maybe this is one. I just jump right in. First game, lose right
away. I like it.
Minus 600, whatever it is. All right. The second game, BYU, Duquesne. I'm taking BYU minus 9.5. They were originally, this is interesting, they were originally a 5 seed, and then they said, we can't play on Sundays. I think it's a I think they follow Chick-fil-A. Whatever Chick-fil-A does, they do. So they can't play Sundays, so they had to move to a 6 seed. So they're kind of misseeded here. Anyway, they were a good Big 12 team, 10-8 in the conference. They beat Iowa State. They beat Kansas. They beat Texas. Not too flashy, but they shoot almost 60% from two. And Duquesne, not so great defensively against teams that thrive by the basket. They really haven't beaten, they haven't beaten anyone in this field, the Dukes. Jackson Robinson heating up 17 points, 18 points in the last two. BYU has a good cover rate too. 19 out of their third two games, they were victorious. ATS, they take this one by double digits. All right, let's go to you again, Bri. My son's very excited. And Eugene, waiting for this game, the tip, 4 p.m. Oregon, South Carolina. This is another one a lot of people like. You're going with the Ducks.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ducks to beat South Carolina at plus 100. By the way, is Archie going to this game, Sal?
He can't make it. Where is it? It's out east, right?
I know. But still, he should be there.
It's like
but look,
in Prague or something.
Look, Oregon got hot at the right time, right? Winning the Pac-12. Even if you'd say the Pac-12 is not good, which it isn't, but when you beat Arizona in there, it's a little bit different. Defensively, they were really good in the tournament. Dante was almost perfect in this tournament, right? I don't think anybody on South Carolina will be able to match up with his size. And look, the main reason here, when you look at this, is the experience with coaching. Dana Altman is a perfect 7-for-7 in first round matchups here. So I'll take Archie's Ducks to advance.
Yeah. Did you mention, I'm sorry, I hadn't been listening to any of you guys. No, but the four last four times they made it to the Sweet 16. I don't know if you said that.
Yeah, that's about right. I didn't say that though.
Parlay Kid, Long Beach State, Arizona, 2 p.m. tip, Eastern.
Yeah, well, listen, as a coach myself, Sal, maybe I'm taking this Long Beach team because I really can have rallied around this coach Monson from Long Beach State, as pretty much everybody knows now. Yeah. Lost his job basically before his conference tournament began. They let him finish out the tournament. What does his team do? They rally around it. They win the tournament, and now they're advancing. They get to play Arizona here. Mm-hmm. But I do like this feel-good story. We see these type of stories happen a lot, and the teams seem to rise to the occasion. I think Long Beach State rises to the occasion here. They're not going to win this game, but getting 19.5 is a little too much for my liking. Look, this is a team, Long Beach State, they beat Michigan. They stunk this year. I know it. They beat USC. They stunk this year. I know it. But they have played in some of those bigger type of environments as well. Five guys who average in double figures. Let's win one for coach. They won't win, but they'll cover for this coach. Okay. Take Long Beach State.
All right. You know, Harry, maybe we should do that. We should fire you, and that'll inspire you to, like, you know, not be out of your pool by Saturday. I don't know
why. I like that. Yeah. Yeah.
Give us your second pick, Harry. Oh, this McNeese. I can't believe this team is eliminated already. God, you love him.
McNeese. I don't want the points. I don't need the points. Money line plus 210 over Gonzaga. Again, H-Dog. Who? H-Dog was way ahead of the curve, way ahead of the game, talking about the Cowboys months ago, how good they are and will be come tournament time. They led the country in point differential. They dominated the Southland Conference. They were fifth in the NCAA in points allowed per game. The Zags are not the Zags of old. There's no Drew Timmy. They're not West Coast Conference regular season champs anymore. They're not even the West Coast Conference tournament champs anymore. Please, McNeese, please pull a shocker in the Midwest. Get it done at +210.
Did you say dominated? Did you make up a word? I like that.
Yeah.
Dominated. Joel, dominated. You should use that for Pittsburgh. For Mike Tomlin.
Do you remember when Harry gave out McNeese State the last time? No, I think they were laying like minus the double digits and they just survived. Well, yeah, just they survived.
Had a 3 to win at the end.
It's all right. Crazy. It's all right.
Listen, I'm taking a crazy pick here too. Akron +640 over Harry's Creighton. That's his eventual champ. That's who he picked. Akron's been tough. They plowed their way through the conference tournament. And once they get in, they could be a problem. Different team, but 2 years ago, they took UCLA to the wire in a 4-13 matchup. And I know Creighton has tough shooters, Shireman and Alexander, to name a couple. But the Zips have Enrique Friedman. This guy averages 19 and 13, 30 double-doubles in 34 games. Creighton can slip up. You know this, Harry. They lost by 15 to UNLV. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the shots don't go down. 130 tip. Let's do this. Zip on over to a +610 payout. Now, Sweet 16 value bets. I'll show you one later. You can put together the parlays, guys, for the Sweet 16. FanDuel is daring you, Parlay Kid. They're saying, all right, no one could complete a bracket, but try to pick six games. Try to pick eight games, three teams, four teams, eight games. Can you do it? Take the one seeds. They don't care. Go get it. I'm going to be a little braver here. I'm going to go with Gonzaga at +116. I picked them to make the Final Four in the beginning of the year. That's not likely happening. They lost seven games. I know this is their worst year in like a dozen years. But listen, they get by McNeese State, who I know everybody loves, but they have 95% of their wins versus quad three and four teams. Mark Few is the opposite of Tony Bennett. He doesn't embarrass himself early. He's going to advance. They still average 85 points a game. Graham Ike has over 16 a game. Neb Hart and a couple others average double digits. Win that one, and maybe they're even playing Samford in the second game, who gets a banged-up Kansas team, or they play that banged-up Kansas team. I like the +116 with the Zags to make the Sweet 16. Parlay Kid, James Madison, this is a fun one.
It's a fun one, and I'm sure it's a fashionable one here as well, so I think a lot of people are jumping on JMU, which scares me a little bit, but they might be this year's FAU, +680 to win, to make it to the Sweet 16. 13-game winning streak, Sal. Winning is a habit, Sal, and these guys are used to winning. That's all they do is win. That's ninth in the country in scoring. They average 84.5 points a game. They get great guard play, which I love in the tournament, which everybody loves in the tournament, and they also have very good defensive efficiency. By the way, TJ Bickerstaff, granddad is Bernie, uncle coaches the Cleveland Cavaliers, averages 13.5 and 8.5 rebounds per game, another solid player to go along with that great guard play. I think JMU, they beat Wisconsin and then maybe beat a slightly overrated Duke team to make it to the Sweet 16.
There's never more incestuous, like college basketball has it all, right? Like this one coached this one. This is the uncle of this one. It's the greatest. It's hard to keep up with. All right, Harry, do it. McNeese State.
Yep. Going right back to McNeese State for the Sweet 16, Sal, at +710. Look, McNeese head coach, Will Wade is a mid-major savant. Birthday boy Parlay Kid knows this. When he was at VCU, he went 51-20 in 2 years in the A-10 there, and now he's led McNeese State to 30 wins this season. Look, get by Gonzaga, then get either another Bulldog team in Samford, or like you mentioned, Sal, a banged-up Kansas team that is just 1-4 in their last five. The last two games they lost by 50 and won't have Kevin McCullough at all for the whole tournament, who averages over 18 points a game. McNeese at +710, Sweet 16, baby. Let's do it.
They're out. Brian, New Mexico, +220.
Yeah, look, I think this is everybody's favorite, too, here, even though, again, maybe +220 is not the best odds. But, look, they have great guard play. We talk about this all the time. Their top three guards average 45 a game. We have House and Mashburn. Both have NBA pedigrees, college veterans. And, look, they also get good production off the bench. Like, a lot of guys make shots for them. Look, and they come into this tournament hot, winning the Mountain West Championship. So I may be overthinking that Colorado State shellacking of Virginia, but – Mountain West, maybe almost as good as the ACC, if not better. I think this is the type of team that could get hot for two or three games here. So I like them to make the Sweet 16 at +220.
All right, fellas, we've said it all, but we're not done. We're going to do more. Stick around. We've got more to talk about. We're going to give out our best regional value pick. The captain of the make-believe Riverboat Casino pays us a visit. That and much more coming up on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Major League Baseball. A lot is going on in the world of sports right now, but don't forget the 2024 baseball season. It's officially here. Some pretty exciting things to look forward to. Can the star-studded Dodgers, can they make the World Series? Can Mookie Betts break my heart again? How about the young Orioles? How about the defending champs, the Rangers, trying to become the first back-to-back champs in over two decades? See how far they'll go. Get in on the action by visiting your local ballpark or any ballpark, or you can just go to MLB.com, tap the banner to learn more. Baseball is something else.
I'm still joined by my pals who are looking to cut down the nets as Harry and I look to cut down the calories. The D3, Harry, Brother Bry, Darren, the Parlay Kid. All right, let's do this. Hey, the captain of the make-believe Riverboat Casino, you know, he's always hanging around, always has a drink in his hand, and sometimes he comes up with a good one. He's very excited for the tournament, and he dropped this off along with his NCAA pool. He posed this question. He said, which former or current college basketball coach would you like to have by your side in a road rage incident? Something must have happened to him. I don't know why he would say that. It's interesting. So it's a different kind of March Madness, but the options are Bobby Knight, minus 6,000, Norman Dell from Hoosiers, 10 to 1, Patrick Ewing, 20 to 1, Kim Mulkey. Oh, she's a force, 30 to 1, or you could take the field at even odds. Parlay Kids, start us off, past or present.
Well, look, I was very close to taking a former coach of ours, Jack Mack, Sal. I mean, we know what. We'd love to have him by our side. Yes. But I'm going to take current coach, UConn coach Dan Hurley. Sal, this guy brings a wrestling coach's mentality to the basketball court. So when I looked him up, I just wanted to look up, see what he's been engaged. Look at the headlines. UConn coach Dan Hurley goes ballistic on officials. Another headline. Dan Hurley seemingly threatened to knock out fan. Another headline, Dan Hurley absolutely loses his mind during UConn-Georgetown. Dan Hurley goes ballistic on team despite 30-point win. This guy is a maniac. He's a nut job. Great coach. He's a winner. He's a winner. So, yes, I'd love to have him on my side during a road rage incident for sure. He's a pit bull, Sal.
By the way, there's a couple ways to go about this, right? Because you could say, I want the guy, I want the fierce guy, I want the intimidating guy, or you could want the guy who's going to talk things over with the with the road rager or something.
Good luck.
So anyway, all right, let's see which way you go with it, Harry.
Well, you know, I'm going to take 80s Big East coach from St. John's, Lou Carnesecca. Now, you guys may not know, Lou's still alive. Lou's 99. God bless him. I hope I don't jinx him like I did jinx Betty White when getting
Lou.
To 100 years old.
You had a nice run.
Yeah, but I'm taking Carnesecca because maybe I cut somebody off and they want to scream and holler at me and rip me and get out of their car, and I just get out with Lou, and Lou takes off a jacket, and a person screaming at me, and he flashes one of those hideous 80s sweaters that he used to wear, and then the person's just like, forget it. I'll pay whatever it is. I'll leave. I just get that sweater away from me. I can't take it anymore. And get back in the car, and that's
what's
it. And I took care of
it. What's going on right now?
Me and Lou give each other a high five, and that's that.
All right, Lou. All right. You got your work cut out for you, Lou. And Harry's a crazy driver, so this could actually happen. I want to set this up with Lou and Harry. All right, Brian, what you got?
Well, look, I'm going to go with John Thompson Jr. Look, I will say, first of all, I'm not taking Bobby Knight because, look, I'm not big into fights, at least in my older age, right?
Okay.
So, and that's possibly the worst guy you could take with you, right? In a road rage incident, he's certainly going to make matters worse with screaming at somebody starting a fight. I don't want that. So I'm going to take John Thompson because, first of all, John Thompson was a giant. I mean, the guy was 6'10", just a very large human being. And secondly, look, he'd be very good at de-escalating the situation. Oh. He always had the respect of everyone he interacted with. And just that voice he had would be powerful enough, I think, to get someone back in their car. So, yeah, I'm definitely staying away from Bobby Knight here. I'm taking John Thompson Jr.
All right, so you went the human way of dealing
of course.
With it, right? The way the common...
A normal person would. Yes.
I know. Well, I went abnormal here. I went with the Parlay Kid and Harry, and I took the field with Juwan Howard. I think that's the answer. 6'10", looks pissed off most of the time. Someone backs into my bumper changing lanes. You know, what? Imagine that gets out of the car. What are you going to do? He's not afraid to let the fist fly. We've seen it on the court. And now he's been fired, so he's extra angry. So if I can get Juwan Howard, not even in his playing days, but now, today, you know, March 20, whatever, Juwan Howard, I may just hire him for this very purpose. I'm going Field Howard plus 350. All right, let's get back to this year's tournament, and let's talk regional best value picks. Harry, start us off. Marquette, that's the team I picked in the beginning of the year. They're plus 550 as a two seed. Plus 550, pretty good numbers to win their very tough region.
Very good. Very good at plus 550, Sal. Yeah, I'm taking your preseason pick of Marquette to make a run in the South. Star guard Tyler Kolak, after missing three games, will be back for the Golden Eagles. And the Golden Eagles will be a tough out. They have four players, average 11 points or more. They played a real tough schedule in preparation for the stage. They beat Illinois, Kansas, Texas, lost to Purdue by three. They get plus 550. Sal, solid price here for a now healthy squad. Plus, after what Iowa State did to Houston in the Big 12 tourney, that gives Shaka Smart's squad more confidence.
All right. That is a tough region. Good luck if you could figure it out. Brother Bri, Tennessee. I don't know why I don't love them so much, but our friend Brad, obviously a big fan. It's going to be bad if they bow out early, but you have them plus 340 to win the region.
Yeah, plus 340 to win the Midwest. And look, they do have Creighton on their side of the bracket, but haven't been as impressed with Creighton this season, even though they could definitely make a run as well. But while Tennessee lost their last two, this team has been battle-tested all year, right? Besides a tough conference, they played the best outside of it. They're a top defensive team, one of the better offensive efficiency teams. You also have one of the best players in the country, Dalton Connect, who shoots 40% from three. So good depth. Their pass is not impossible either. They had a close game with Purdue earlier in the season. And Sal, I could certainly see the headline being Connect Four, right? If Tennessee wins the region here and gets to the Final Four.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right. Parlay Kid, Baylor, plus 650. Yeah, I don't hear a lot of people touting Baylor. It's pretty good.
You know, Sal, I was on Baylor from the start of the year when we talked on our podcast. I gave up Baylor to make the Final Four, so I'm going to stay with them here at plus 650 to make a run. I think they're in a good spot in the bracket, too, with UNC and Arizona as the top seeds over there. Scott Drew, excellent coach. They had freshman Jacoby Walter, who's a likely top 10 pick in the draft. They're a top 20 they shoot in the top 20%. Top 20 in percentage shooting, I should say. Sorry about that. They have six players. And I know Harry's mentioned this before, too, about Baylor. They have six players who average in double digits. That's I think, probably the most in the nation. You don't normally see that. So they have a lot of scoring depth. One guy goes cold. Another guy could step up. Ray J. Dennis, transfer from Toledo, has had a solid season. Battle-tested, like him, too. They have wins against Auburn, Florida, Seton Hall, BYU, Iowa State, et cetera, et cetera. Teams had a great set. They play in a rugged conference. They've won and lost some. But they're primed for a run here, Sal. I like Baylor to make that run, plus 650 to make the Final Four.
All right. I got one here. Also a two seed and a little undervalued, I think. North Carolina, Tate Frazier, Master Tate Frazier's Carolina Tar Heels, plus 340. I really don't understand this. They're a one seed. Arizona, the two, is plus 230. Do I have that right, Brian? Or is everything I say wrong there?
No, that's right.
Arizona's plus 230. UNC plus 340. I know everyone's excited about the Caleb Love revenge game should these two meet up, but Arizona, I feel like, is ripe to get picked off early. Carolina's got athleticism, is going to get them out of the first round with ease. They have a huge matchup advantage against either Michigan State or Mississippi State. We're going to see that tip off in soon enough. And then a weird game against St. Mary's, Charleston, Alabama. I think you'll be able to bet against this. I think they're getting at least to that third game, that round of 16, a round of eight, rather. And I think if you did the money line figures, they wouldn't add up to plus 340. And I see some upsets in that region, and especially on their side. I'm going Carolina plus 340. Boy, Fandle's got all sorts of great things. Will a 12 beat a 5? I was about to come on here and say, no, take the plus 270 at no. And then I was like, oh, I have three 12s beating a 5, so I can't do that.
Exactly.
Does anyone like that? Like plus money at a 12 won't beat a 5?
No.
I like all four 12s. I like all four.
Well, that's a nice parlay. number one seeds to make the Final Four. I think two is a good landing spot. at plus 210. I feel like once you get to the Elite Eight, if there's three left, you're good. If there's one left, you're not good at all. But what number would you go with, Harry, for Final Four?
I like that number too. Plus 210. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good price to get two of the four. It's pretty good.
I don't know. I might play a bunch of these and just hope that like an 11 seed doesn't get in.
Brian,
did you see any? You saw like biggest blowout, right?
Well, yeah, look, on for Thursday's games, right, you could have biggest blowout, lowest scoring team. I think the biggest blowout right now they have, I think, plus 250 is the UNC-Wagner game. And look, I love the way Wagner's played. They're a tough team. But, man, they're playing with seven guys. I mean, the other day they were in foul trouble. They still fought through it. But I could see that being a big-time blowout here.
Yeah. Harry, what were you going to say?
I was just going to say, what's the number for – 58, Darren's age.
Oh, my God. Come on, Eric. That's not nice. They don't have it. They have 40 plus.
They don't have it? Oh, okay.
By the way, 40 plus at 490-1. You get – nah, that can't be 40. It can't be 40.
No.
You need four double-digit seeds.
Yeah.
No, you're going to get one.
Led me down a crazy path. All right, guys. I'm going to say goodbye to you. Chris. Harry, I'm going to see you soon enough.
Yep.
Hopefully, guys, no one's bracket gets busted over the next 4 hours. Harry, you're going to be with me at the Kimmel Comedy Club with Tate, nephew Kyle, the rest of you. Don't move. We're going to be back to close things out on Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with your garage on cars.com.
All right, welcome back to Cousin Sal's Winning Weekend. Hey, I have one more thing for you. It's a four-leg parlay. These teams to all make it to the Sweet 16, Carolina, UConn, Houston, and I'm adding Oregon. They're going to be a surprise to play next week. Pays close to 11-1 odds. Go to FanDuel. Treat yourself right. That does it for this week. My thanks again to Seth Greenberg and, as always, the D3 Harry, Parlay Kid, and Brother Bri. I'm heading over to the Jimmy Kimmel Comedy Club at the Link in Vegas. If you're in town, come by and race to 10 with us. Harry and Tate Frazier will be there. We're going to be giving out $10 bills for free. Thanks to all of you for watching and listening. And please, always remember, you may feel like an underdog, but just know you're all my favorites. Happy handicapping.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God. The world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates. This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.